Wake up, everybody. This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. That's Bob Belts. This is Jose Feliciano. Wow.
Feliz Navidad.
Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
It's that time of year, isn't it?
It's coming.
Feliz Navidad.
Everybody's getting in the Christmas spirit.
Feliz Navidad.
If I had one wish this Christmas, it would be that all the children of the world could join hands together and sing in perfect harmony.
And if you've never heard Steve Martin's bit on that, you won't get what it was just being said. Hey, good morning.
Steve Martin goes on to say a bunch of nonsense, but it's a good Christmas bit. How are you?
Great. How are you? Never better, I bet.
Never better. This is my best day. Tomorrow will be even better if you see me then. Glad you're listening today, folks. Every single one of you that tuned in, we appreciate it. Now, we've got a couple of great guests today. Dominic and Noe are our friends from the city. One's Chicano, one's Mexican. Dominic, welcome to the show. We're going to start by having you explain the difference between Hispanic, Chicano, Mexican, and
Portuguese.
Portuguese and Jose Feliciano.
I think the only difference is the cheese that you put on top of your burrito between Chicanos and Mexicans. I don't think Mexicans like the cheese on top, but Chicanos, I think we do. So we'll start there. That's probably the main difference. But I think it's, Mexicans sometimes, and Chicanos will define themselves from where they're born, whether Mexican-American, sometimes tend to, if you're Mexican descent, you were born here in America, sometimes you tend to lean towards that Chicano.
So if your parents were both born in Mexico, you're Mexican.
I'd say if you were born in Mexico, you might define yourself as Mexican more so than if you were, both your parents are from Mexico and you're born here, you might identify more as Chicano. Okay. So if you're American born, if you're first generation, second, third, you're born here, you might identify more as Chicano.
What about Latino? Because that's another. We're just white guys. We
Here's the thing: we have way too many slots that we can fill in. White is, you check that off, and it's a one box
for all.
Yeah, for all. But hey, we're all brown. That's so we're good.
We're glad you're here.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
We're really glad you're here. And Dominic, tell us, first of all, just a little about your life. I want to hear your story. Where were you born and raised, and what was going on around your place as a kid?
Born in Denver, Colorado. Raised in Denver, Colorado. Still live in Denver, Colorado. 38th and Federal whereabouts, right in North Denver. Born to a single parent. Born to a single mother. Luckily, born into a Christian family.
It's actually hard to be born to the other single parent.
But yeah, it's
anyway. Go ahead. Never mind.
Yeah, that's. That sounds like something that might come right out of the Bible if you're born to a man. But no, born a single parent household. Luckily, born into the church. My grandfather is a pastor at New Life in Christ Church. I believe you guys either going to have him on or had him on already. But raised throughout the church, raised and instilled with those values from the church, and which a lot of people are. And but really, just having to find my own way going through my young adulthood, adolescent. And becoming a man, into finding what a personal relationship with Christ is, and finding out what that looks like, and that ever evolving kind of definition of what being a Christian is, and how to follow Christ, and what's expected of us.
So how far out did you drift? If you had an anchor with your grandpa and your home, but then you, as you said, went into adolescence and manhood. Did you fly off where you almost made it into the headlines, or were you just
that's
doing the regular stuff kids do?
Like I said, it's an ever evolving thing that goes on, I think, through your journey through Christianity. And maybe as being raised within the church, it's a little different than maybe someone who has a come to God moment in their 20s and they say, I'm never gonna deal with this stuff again, because you have this instilled inside you. This is what being a Christian is. This is what knowing Jesus is from a child. But then you have to still go through growing up, going through normal things that kids go through. So as far as drifting is concerned, I think it's something that I wouldn't say necessarily I drifted away, but you definitely find that ebb and flow of just what life is and you know, dealing with, like I said, just continuing to redefine what your mission is within Christianity and being a Christian and what that looks like.
So people that wonder, where am I in my journey? What are some of the options, Bob? Because I know Billy Graham had this great sermon on, there's only three things you can do with what Christ says about himself: accept, reject, or neglect. And a lot of people maybe fall into that neglect zone where they think, I just never thought about it, hadn't heard much about it, haven't gotten around to it yet.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because I'm one of those guys that in my 20s, you know, actually at age 20, first understood what it even meant to have a relationship with Christ. And that was through Rich Beach, who, you know, you knew growing up, obviously, and was a big part of Sky's the Limit. But I think, you know, there are a number of options. One is that you just never have heard, or you have very big misconceptions. And I think that, you know, I know that I had a lot of friends that if you would have asked them what a Christian was before they, you know, had any kind of relationship with Christ, would have probably said, well, it's somebody that doesn't do all the stuff that we're doing, that we're having a good time doing. And, you know, and it would be defined in terms of what you didn't do, rules, regulations, without any real understanding of who Jesus is, or what a relationship is. So some people are, you know, kind of drifting, don't really even know what you're talking about if you were to, you know, use those kind of terms. I think others are, you know, maybe in that neglect phase where they've, you know, they've heard who Jesus is, but it's kind of bounced off. Maybe that, you know, not quite in a place where they're open or ready to respond to that. And then I think, you know, even though for myself and for many others, there is this kind of moment in time where you really understand and it's dramatic and you make the decision. I also think for others, there is a little process. There's kind of a journey and a softening that takes place and growing and understanding until you come to a moment. And I think it's a very, you know, spiritual moment when I believe that, you know, God sometimes takes the blinders off your eyes and you have an experience where the Holy Spirit kind of lets you know this is true. And then you really have to make a decision and you come to that point. So I think there is kind of process oftentimes involved in the journey. And, you know, for some people it's hitting bottom and, you know, there's no other way to go. For others, you know, it doesn't need to be like that. So,
and can you have stutter starts? I'm in. Oop.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like, you know, with that for myself and hearing those three, you know, reject, neglect, accept. I feel like those I've done all of those things throughout my life. You know, rejected. You know, hey, I don't know. This can't be right. Or at times neglect and say, you know what, I'm not doing the right things. And and accepting finally and just saying, you know, this is what I need in my life. This is, and more so, this is what I'm called, as opposed to a needing thing. This is what needs me, I suppose. Is Christ needs me to work through me to do His work, and that's a big thing that we're taking this course. There's about 10 of us, young men, taking this course through our church that's being offered. It's a course on the Book of Acts, and it's really, you know, you talked about, you know, if someone was to define a Christian, maybe that didn't know, it's something, somebody that doesn't do what we're all doing, having a good time or something like that. And I think at times, we as Christians will sometimes think that way. You know, what am I called to do as a Christian? Well, you know, on the car ride over to pick up the kids, you know, I'm not supposed to curse at the driver next to me. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to be a good person. I'm called not to, or you know, I'm called to go serve turkeys on Thanksgiving, something like that. But we're called to do so much more, and that's what we're really learning through this book of Acts course. Is you know, we're called to share the gospel and be living examples and strengthening each other and sharing the word of Christ with each other. So it's not something that you just take in and keep. And you know, I'm trying to be a better person. You know, well, we're all probably trying to be better people. There's a lot of Christians who are trying to be better people and not curse at the driver next to them. So it's that next step that you have to take and really, you know, hold on to, and sharing that makes a difference.
So that's the voice of Dominic Atencio, one of our guests today here on You Get the Blessing. And I want to introduce our other guest here in studio today, Noe Cuevas. Am I saying it right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And pull right up in there where we can hear you, Noe, and tell us a little bit about your life.
Oh, where do I start?
You're still a young man, so please don't tell me you were born a young man, because we've heard that too much lately.
Well, I could start with the fluffy stuff, is that where I got saved. But it's in my heart, Dominic just said, to strengthen others out there. And I was also raised by a single mom. I was actually born in Mexico. So I'm the Mexican, I guess.
That's good.
And I moved around quite a bit growing up. I ended up in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. Grew up there and actually ended up moving here to Denver on a kind of emergency type move. My stepdad got in some trouble where, you know, big trouble with the law. And my mom had to get her stuff and move here, kind of, and my aunt took us in. So I started going to North High School, and that's where I met John, Pastor John, my pastor.
John Rodriguez.
John Rodriguez. And he introduced me to Jack LaPietra, my pastor. And he asked me to join the church's basketball team. So he opened doors in that way. And then being my coach, I met him at North through Colorado Uplift. And then he offered to pick me up and take me to the basketball games and coach me. So I was like, okay. So got to know him then, and he kind of got to know my short fuse, couple of practices being the new kid. You know, I got tested and punched some guys out.
Always good to do in the church league basketball program.
Yeah, and he could go on about the Royal Rumbles we got into with some other teams. But
I had that same experience, by the way. Something about basketball just causes the flesh to well up, and you're like, take right. your hands off me, or I'm going to put my hand in your mouth. Mm-hmm. But so that just let him see you, as you say, your short fuse.
Yeah, and, same thing in class. He was the uplift teacher. Same thing happened in class.
Lost your temper?
Lost my temper in class. But both times, the second one, he ended up getting punched in the eye, and he got upset a little bit with me. But then afterwards, he came to me. He's like, "Hey, man, you okay? Just want to make sure that you're okay." And I was okay. I wasn't. I punched the other guy out, so I was just angry, I guess.
Sounds like a class I want to be a part of. How about you, Bob?
But yeah, he's been there, so that's how I met John, and which is now my pastor at New Life in Christ.
So the way they loved you through some of that kept you coming back.
Right, right. I was just talking to Pastor Jack about, where I should go with my testimony. I don't want to cheat the Lord out of what he wants me to do. I was a promising athlete. I'm pretty athletic, track and field, cross country, stuff like that. Pretty promising athlete, but I had a girlfriend in high school. And she got pregnant. We came to the decision because of my anger issues, and she got me upset. And my pride got in the way. And we made the decision to have an abortion. And right after that happened, I died inside. So that's where I fell off. I didn't talk to anybody. I got into doing drugs a lot.
Just felt like you'd made a mistake or caused her pain, or what was going through your mind?
Mistakes in every aspect. I caused my girlfriend at the time a lot of pain. Myself, you know, I died inside. I could honestly say that I died inside. I was numb. I got into heavy drug uses. Like, I never thought about myself as a drug. I used to look down upon drug users or cigarette smokers, drinkers, because I was an athlete. I was, you know, my pride was untouchable in a sense. So when I made that committed that sin, I felt my separation from God, and I fell into drugs where I was doing ecstasy, cocaine, almost like 5 days out of the week. You know, living at night, running the streets.
What stopped that cycle?
Well, going in, you know, for a few, you know, I was in that for more than 6 years. What stopped the cycle is that I almost lost my family, my mom, my sister.
They were just sick of you?
No, I just saw their pain, you know, their pain. They were crying over me. They saw how the drugs had affected me. You could see it in my face, in my physical, and everything, you know. It's like, well, what's going on? They can't reach me, to the point where, because they were there, I didn't listen. But when I was faced with the decision to completely be apart from them, by the decision that I was gonna make, I decided to throw away those riches that were promised in that lifestyle. I rejected them because I was hurting my mom, and I think her prayers like helped me see the way. Like I pretty much I'm alive on her prayers.
Mm.
It's in the grace of God, because I should have been, I could have overdosed on many stuff, cocaine. I took up to 7 hits of acid at one time. So, you know, my mind was gone at, you know, certain points in my life.
Didn't scare you these things were illegal?
You know, I thought about it, but, you know, I was like, what's worse than what I'm feeling now? You know, they could put me in jail, whatever the case may be. I was like, they'd probably do me a favor, like, just put me away with what I'd done in the past. I was like, you know, I didn't want to live.
Just felt hopeless.
Yeah, I felt hopeless. And through that lifestyle, let me go back a little bit. At age 20, I got into a car accident where I got a herniated disc and a deviation in my back. So on top of what the decision I made with my girlfriend and that accident, chronic pain, it just compacted, and I really didn't see the light. So I hope, you know, this is a little bit of light for somebody out there, because that twinkle. And it happened that my grandpa actually came over here to visit, and he's partially deaf, so he was kind of screaming at me, but talking to me. And he was talking like, son, I have
every... partially deaf, so he speaks loudly, you're saying.
Right, right.
Felt a lot like screaming.
Right. So, you know, he took me aside, and he started talking about how he has everything that he has asked the Lord. And I started looking around. I saw a lot of family members. I mean, he had like 13 kids, and so I have a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins. But he just started talking about his blessings in family and life and what he had, his health. He was 80 at the time, and you know, he could still hold a beat dancing. So it was pretty fun.
And that was a turning point for you, that discussion?
It wasn't. That discussion kind of, it was that twinkle. So, yeah, I guess it was a turning point. Because I was living that night life, and I was being I was being the muscle of the operation. I was confronted with actually hurting some people, like, really bad. That's what the decision came about. Like, do I want my family or do I want to live this lifestyle? Because if I pick the other lifestyle, the nightlife, I'm not going to be around over here. Mm. Because I'm going to actually take on a profession, you know, type stuff. So I asked the Lord, I was like, if you're real, heal my back. I don't care about what I'm going to get my next check, where the next meal is going to come from. Heal my back and I'll dedicate my life to you. A week later, I was driving on I-25 and by 36th Avenue in my car. It was a little icy and my car was the only one that went into the other lane. But just something about the whole experience of my car shifting to the other lane when I was trying to exit. It just, I felt there was nothing. I pushed on the brake to stop it, nothing. I pushed on the gas to try to go, nothing. I moved the wheel, nothing. And I just let go and I was like, oh, Lord. And I got hit. Well, when I got hit, I got pushed maybe 50 meters or more. I got out. The chronic pain was gone. I stretched. I was like, whoa. I was like, the chronic pain is gone.
Both so God legs. Healed you in a car wreck.
Yes. Yeah. So then, I just felt it. The whole place just comes still, like he made sure that I understood that moment where everything was just.
Wasn't a coincidence.
Right.
It his wasn't hidden hand was involved.
Right. It was love. It was, he's like, you asked me. And feel my love, and I felt it.
Wow. Let's go back to Dominic for a minute, because that's a miraculous story of healing. That was Noe Cuevas. This is Dominic Atencio, and you guys are all about picking up friends like Noe and just coming alongside and saying, let's stay the course here now.
It's absolutely.
Not necessarily easy, but let's stay.
Yeah, and I think that's, and it's seeing through that, and you can see John throughout the years, the impact that he's had on Noe. Like you said, loving him through those hard times, and that interpersonal relationship. And I think that's one of the strong things about New Life in Christ is, we talked about in class the other night. God doesn't need to sell the church. You're not selling the church as in, hey, you should come to our church. We have a basketball court. We have, we have great after school services. We have a summer camp. The thing that sells New Life in Christ to people like Noah, to people like me, is the interpersonal relationships, to bring people in and show them that love that Christ has shown unto us, and to love them and to love on them and be there for them when they're up, when they're down, when they're in the middle, when they're rejecting, when they're neglecting, when they're accepting. It's those relationships that really that our church thrives on. And That's the one thing that you don't have to sell is, that love that people can come in and they can see it and they want to be a part of it. And you'll hear that later with the other people that are going to come in. You'll hear them say that's what keeps them here. So
we're proud of what you're doing, Dominic, and we're happy, Noe, that you were healed and now you're going to concentrate. And that's part of it, isn't it, Bob? Is we could sit here and look at these guys from the city and think, they've been dealt some tough cards to play, both without dads, and both exposed to stuff that maybe we weren't exposed to. You were, I think. I wasn't in the drug culture, but and yet come out like this, just great guys, well-spoken. So power of God's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I really appreciate Noe's the comments he made about what he really felt and experienced was love. Was God's love, and that was an expression of God's love. And I think that's what we're all hungering for. And, whether it's in the city or in the suburbs and, on the outside, it might look differently, but on the inside, it's the same emptiness and need and longing. And we try and fill that with all kinds of different things. But, it's like that void inside of us, that God-shaped vacuum that Pascal used to talk about, that it can only be filled by Christ. So, if you're listening today and, you might tremendously relate to these guys because your life is a lot like theirs, or you might, you know, be fascinated with the story, but it doesn't sound like your life. Just know that, you know, it's that God loves you and that he wants to have a relationship with you like these guys are talking about.
So I'm thankful for both of you. And what excites you for the immediate future, Dominic?
You know, the excitement is just to continue to delve into studying with my peers and to see, you know, I'm inspired every time I go to class. It's a Tuesday night. You know, I work, you know, we all work 8 hours a day. And then to go on a Tuesday night, the middle of the week, and to see how fired up they are, you know, that's inspiring to see people on fire. And I just want, I ask, what, oh, sometimes I feel like I'm not on fire, but then I get to see around them and I'm like, man, this is awesome. So,
well, you guys stay anchored with each other and with Pastor Jack LaPietra and John Rodriguez. And thank you for sharing your testimonies. Great stories. No way. Glad you stood up and walked away from that car crash with full healing and not more brokenness. But if you're listening today, know this. Brokenness is part of it. And God meets us right where we are and is in the healing business, the fresh start, new beginning business. So if that's what you're in need of today, wear out the doors of a church. And go see him. Come back and see us right here next week on You Get the Blessing.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.